Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Darth Chosen tweets at the show, I literally worked at my Spartanburg store today so I could do paperwork and listen to the Rob Brown show. Being in the mountains, I missed hearing his voice inflection.
You know, Darth, there are other methods of listening to the show, even while in the mountains. Download the Odyssey app. You can bring us up on your computer, or you can watch us on Facebook Live or YouTube.
But also, thank you.
Yes.
Also, thank you for changing your day plans to be a part of the show. We're glad to have you. And that's true of every one of you. Welcome, guys. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is Lonzo. Last night, the New York Knicks had themselves a game, ladies and gentlemen, and it was interesting because the New York Knicks, R.J. Barrett, had to lead them over a W, and hey, by the way, against a very decent Philadelphia 76ers team. Julius Randle scored 10 of his 31 in the final 4:46. Knocked down a bank in. No, sorry, not the 76ers. What am I talking about? Looking at an old game. The Bulls. The Eastern Conference leading Chicago Bulls. Knocks down a game-winning bank in three. But it was ugly earlier in the game. Julius Randle, who is the face of the Knicks. Earlier in the game, the Knicks were being booed by their fans. They were down 25. They ended up winning 108-105. But a day after saying he doesn't care what other people think about the season he's having, Randle, who is having a miserable first half, as he ran back down court after making a putback basket, and the crowd came unglued, Randle looks up at the crowd and gives them a thumbs down gesture. All right, gives them the old thumbs down. Reminiscent of, remember, Javi Baez for the Mets earlier this year. He did the same thing. The Mets fans were booing them. Baez gets on base, drives in a run to tie up a game. The Mets fans start cheering. Baez gets on first base, look at the stands, and gives them a boo, or gives them a thumbs down. And then after the game was asked about it, and he said, you know, it's kind of messed up that they are booing us for so much of the game, but then when we do a good thing, they cheer. My take at that point was, yes, Javi. Yes, you boo when things go bad, and you cheer when things go good. That's how booing and cheering works. We're after the win, 108-105, over the Boston Celtics at home. Julius Randle was asked what the thumbs down towards the fan was for. And Randle said that it was basically because of the booing followed by the cheering when things went well. And he said that it was to tell the Knicks fans to, and I quote, shut the bleep up. End quote. When asked if it was in response to something directly, Randle said, you saw that. You saw what was going on with that. Forget. End quote. The Knicks fell way behind. The fans started booing. Randall gives him a thumbs down. He says you saw what was happening and tells the fans to just shut the bleep up. End quote. After the game was over, and this is going to be clip 3A, if you don't mind, Lonzo. Evan Fournier, the former Orlando Magic man turned New York Knick, was doing his press conference, and he was asked about the thumbs down and the comments from Julius Randle, and this was what Evan Fournier had to say.
You know, Jules, getting to know him, he's an emotional guy because he puts so much into what he does. And so he has, I did not see what happened, the reaction?
We were like this, which is...
Okay. When the fan booed us? Yeah, so he probably wasn't happy about that. Honestly, no big deal, in my opinion, because, you know, the dude played hard as hell. He fought extremely hard, and he played well. So, you know, when you give everything you have for something, and you put so much into something... And it doesn't work out, or you're being called out, you know, sometimes it's frustrating. But it's the business we're in, and Julius is the image of the franchise. He's you know, the star player. So, of course, he's going to get more criticism, but that comes with it. And, you know, I think he understands it. I mean, you know, if I remember well, his first year here, he was getting booed, you know, consistently. And then he bounced back and had an incredible season last year. So, you know, that shows a lot of mental toughness. So I'm not worried about Julius at all.
So he says he played well. It's showing mental toughness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get where Julius Randle would have been coming from. But Charles Barkley summed it up pretty well. Clip 3. Barks on NBA on TNT responded to the situation by saying this.
I never understand why players think you're supposed to get cheered when you're playing bad. I've never, you're going to get booed when you're playing bad.
Even by your home team.
And you're going to get cheered when you win. This notion, it happened in baseball, a kid for the Mets this year.
No, it was Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor,
and I'm like,
Kevin Pillar, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, you're playing bad. Are they supposed to cheer when you're playing bad?
Or badly.
And ownership took note of that, and then here came the apologies from a couple of those players.
But I don't understand, as a player, this is the way this thing works. We ain't doctors, we ain't lawyers. If you play good, people cheer you. If you play bad, people boo you. That's the deal you make with fans, and that's the deal.
Barks says if you are playing bad, the fans will boo. If you're playing good, they cheer. It's that simple.
It really is that simple.
I agree. It genuinely really is, right? Because I think athletes, like, they get to this point throughout their lives, they're loved and adored for what they can do, right? I've told the story how many times of the kid that I played high school football with, who went on to be a very, very good college football player at Alabama. And he got away with so much in high school because of how damn talented he was. And it got to the point that with this young man, you couldn't criticize him. You couldn't criticize him because he would take it personally, right? Like, you couldn't. And when I say criticize, I mean, hey man, you're not digging into your cut routes the way you should. You're not sinking your hips the way you need to get the most out of a turn. I watched him walk out of a practice one day because a coach told him to sink his hips when he turned into a route, and he got offended. He got mad at it, right? Because he'd been told how great he was his whole career. I don't blame the kid at all. He was told his whole career how great he was at everything. So to him, criticism felt like an insult when it's not. It's just coaching. The difference at that level and the professional level is that for us as fans, being a fan's not cheap. Especially if you're the type of fan that's going to games. I try to go to as many games as I can go to. But it ain't cheap. Part of the reason I love this job is because I can go to games and cover them, so I get to go to a game and enjoy it for free. But I like to fly down to New Orleans and go to a Saints game, go to a Pelicans game. When I'm back home, I go to as many college games as I can. When I'm up here, I try to get to different games every week of every sport. And I know that if it wasn't for this job, that would be much easier for me to, or much more difficult for me to do. It's not cheap. NBA game tickets in a place like Madison Square Garden, you're looking at $1.50 to get in the door to watch guys play a kid's game. $1.50 to get in the door. If you go to any other venue, right? If you went to a steak restaurant and you ordered a steak, you ordered a ribeye medium rare, and you got a T-bone that was well done, you'd be like, no, nope. Mr. Waiter, it's not what I ordered, it's not what I wanted, and it's not cooked the way I wanted. I need you to send it back, and I need you to get me what I asked for. You wouldn't just be okay with it. So, Julius, man, if I pay money to go watch my team play, I'm not saying I expect to see him win every time. That's not how sports work. But, damn, I expect to see effort. I expect to see a team try. Now, there are exceptions to this, right? Week 18, a lot of teams are locked into the playoffs already. A lot of teams are locked into their seeding in the playoffs already. If you're already locked into the playoffs, at the end of the day, my expectation is you do what you can to win a championship. So if guys sit this weekend and I spend the money on a ticket, that's on me as a fan. That's on me as a fan. But if I'm the Knicks going to watch the Celtics, I expect to see the Knicks not, what's the word, suck at basketball against the team that they are every bit as good as.
Knowing how to boo is the right of a New York Knicks fan, because when's the last time they were good? I mean,
Patrick Ewing?
Yeah, it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
And booing and criticism goes with any form of entertainment, and that's what basketball is. That's what football is. It's entertainment. You're going to get fans are there so they can cheer or so they can boo. I think it's worse to play an arena where you hear nothing, which you've done during COVID. If you're in there in the full crowd and you hear nothing, what's that do?
Yeah, listen, the thumbs down to the fans that are booing, I'm not even mad about that, because you're caught up in the emotion of the game, right? You're caught up in the moment of the game, and games are intense. There's a lot of adrenaline going. Telling them after the game to shut the bleep up, whoo, Julius. That's how you stop selling jerseys, my guy.
Although, if I'm in the crowd and he just made a basket and he went thumbs down, I'm thinking he's doing that because he just sunk that basket. I'm not thinking that he's going thumbs down on me.
I watched it. It was pretty clear.
Is it?
It was pretty evident. I mean, he's looking right at the Knicks fans when he does it, just like Javi Baez did back during last season.
Oh, show you. Look at this. Ha-ha. Thumbs down on you.
Asked Wednesday whether he was underappreciated and taking too much heat for the team's uneven season. Randall responded, quote, I really don't give a bleep what anybody has to say, to be honest. I'm out there playing. Nobody knows the game out there better than I do compared to what everybody has to say. Here's the thing. This is one thing that's always frustrated me.
He just lied. Because if he didn't care, what's the point of doing the thumbs down?
Right. Oh, no, he absolutely cares. One thing that genuinely bugs me is when athletes go, well, I know the game better than you. Yeah, of course you do. You're a professional athlete. But I don't need to be freaking Dick Vitale to look out and see you sucking against the Boston Celtics. You know what I mean? Like 85% of fans in a building watching a team play are there because they love the game and they love the team. You don't need to be John Wooden to be able to look at a basketball team and go, oh, well, they're not playing very well right now. They're down 25 at the half. That seems bad. That seems not great. Do fans have a right to boo players? I say yes. I have paid my money for a product. I'm not saying I expect to win, but I'm saying I expect the product to be up to snuff. And the Knicks just weren't last night. Like, clearly and obviously just weren't. Till R.J. Barrett comes in, banks in a three to win the game. Then the Knicks fans came unglued. You see how that works, Julius? In the first half, you were bad, and you were losing by 25 to a 10th-seeded Boston Celtics team. And then, in the second half, you played good. And you won the game. And the New York fans gave you a polite golf clap to thank you for your efforts. There's no other business that we love. I don't understand why it is that, like, there's all these special ways of handling sports that aren't the same in other lines of business, right? Like in sports, if a guy moves from one job to another, we're like, boo! In every other business, we're like, good on him for doing better by himself, you know?
I wouldn't go every other business. If someone moves from a certain radio station to a rival radio station, I kind of frown upon that.
You in the industry do.
Yeah, maybe some other people do too.
I mean, maybe there's some hardcore fans, right?
Like the ones that we have here on this program?
Obviously. If I went across town to the rival station, they would all follow me there because they love me.
You'd have to buy a closet full of another color. Yes.
Texas says, can Knicks fans actually have an expectation of a good product on the court or winning? I mean, they can. Should they is a better question.
It's very unrealistic, though, if they have those expectations. Just from recent past.
Texas says, we need to normalize booing people in retail and food service. Damn bartender poured my draft with too much foam. Boo! That is true. Sports is also the only business where I'm like, yes, booing a worker is a good plan. I mean, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here. It is the only business that I go, if that guy doesn't perform to your expectations, boo them loudly. Boo! I'm saying boo effort, not results. Right? I'm saying boo effort, not results. If your team loses, your team loses. It's sports. It's going to happen. But if your team is just not trying, and the Knicks most certainly were not in the first half, the Knicks just aren't trying, boom. I spent money to watch this, and I am straight up not having a good time, bro. Kevin Marshall of FCS Nation joins us next to break down the FCS
The FCS championship game.
That is exactly what I said.
It's clarifying. I'm not booing you. I could, though.
Boo!
Poor effort on Rob Brown's fault.
Seriously. You may boo me. You may call in just to go on the air and boo.
Hey, you don't give me permission to boo.
Kevin Marshall joins us next to talk FCS championship game. We'll talk FBS championship game for the rest of the hour on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, to the phone lines we go to welcome in a young man you have heard on the show many times. We talk a little FCS championship game with the host of FCS Nation Radio. He is Mr. Kevin Marshall. Kay, good to have you back on the show, big fella. How we doing?
It's nice to be actually in Dallas, man. It was quite the ordeal getting here, but we're here. We have a national championship game tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. And a good one, by the way. And obviously, Kevin, the thing about this championship game that I'm most intrigued by, familiarity breeds competition to me, right? Like, you can have two teams that don't know each other at all and have a good game, but when two teams know each other, like these two teams know each other, they played for the 18 championship, the 2019 championship, they played each other in playoff games, etc. Man, these are two guys, these are two squads that know each other very well in North Dakota State, Montana State. What does that mean for this game?
Well, there's a whole lot of question marks, though, because look, the Bobcats, the guy who started at quarterback for them all year, he entered the transfer portal 48 hours before their first playoff game. And a freshman, young freshman quarterback named Tommy Mallott from Butte, Montana, steps in and sets that offense on fire. I mean, look who they had to go through to get here. The defending national champion from the spring and Sam Houston. You know, then they beat South Dakota State, who played for the national championship in the spring. To get here, it's been a beautiful run for the Bobcats. And this is an 8-seed team, y'all, only possible at this level of Division I football. Not four teams, 24 teams. And we have an 8-seed versus a 2-seed for all the marbles tomorrow, high noon from Frisco, Texas.
We're talking to Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation Radio here on the Rob Brown Show in ESPN Upstate. 2018-2019 playoffs, you know, I mentioned that North Dakota State beat Montana State in both of those games. They didn't beat them. They romped them both times. What is different about Montana State this year that makes this a game, or are we expecting history to repeat itself?
Look, NDSU is not as good as they have been. They're still really good, though. And their quarterback, Cam Miller, was a true freshman in the spring, and he had some growing pains. Well, he's kind of got it together this fall a little bit, but they're gettable. This is not the NDSU team that generally just comes in and steamrolls everybody. Montana State is stout on defense, defensive line and linebacker especially. Number 15 for them, Troy Anderson, will be a Sunday football player, no doubt. They also have Daniel Hardy, who rushes off the edge. He could play at Carolina or Clemson, no doubt in my mind. So could Troy Anderson. So, you know, these are guys on the Montana State defense that are very good. The safeties play very well, too. They close very well. This is going to be a low-scoring game, I think, decided on the ground and in the trenches.
We're talking to Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation Radio. You mentioned North Dakota State not being as good as they have been in years past, but I've been kind of checking in on game film here and there, and it looks to me like Montana State is better than they have been in years past, one that could make a strong case in this matchup. What does Montana State need to do specifically to kind of shake the monkey off the bat?
Look, NDSU is going to come out and think they can push them around, because in 18 and 19, that's exactly what they did. And it's kind of going to see if they're still the same team that they, you know, pretty much dominated in all three phases in both of those games. So you have to feel like the first 8, 9, 10 minutes of this ball game are extremely important for Montana State, because they're going to have to withstand that first punch. If they do, and they can get off the field on third down and get the ball back to their offense and do something with it, but they can get a lead. I'm not sure North Dakota State, with their offense that they run and Cam Miller back there, is going to be able to come back if they get a couple of scores down. It's not how they operate. So, excuse me, the first few minutes of that game are extremely important for the Bobcats.
So one thing I've said about the Georgia-Alabama National Championship game, Kevin, is that to me, because Alabama is so well-rounded, we saw them put up 400-plus passing yards against Georgia in the SEC championship game. Then we turned around and saw them run for 300 yards against Cincinnati. They can do both. And my thought with Georgia is they've got to be to the point of almost irresponsibly physical with Alabama to keep them from getting into any sort of rhythm. And it looks to me like Montana might need to do the same. The best thing they can do is prevent North Dakota State from ever hitting a rhythm and try to get themselves a few points worth of lead early.
Exactly. You know, and you do that by running the football. And Montana State can do that. They get the running back, Isaiah Infante, back, who did not play against the Jackrabbits. That'll be big for them. And that'll give a lot of credence to the play-action game, because you have a guy who can take it to the house on any play. Tommy Mallott, the freshman quarterback, He ran it 34 times against South Dakota State. I mean, and they don't run the triple option neither. That's a whole lot of carries for a quarterback. Don't think they want to see him do that tomorrow, but he's a factor running the football. They have just got to string together drives, possess the ball, and try to beat NDSU at their own game. I think that the group of the linemen that the Bobcats have matches up about as good as anybody is going to be able to against that bunch of hosses that play at NDSU. If you look up NDSU's offensive line, the Green Bay Packers are not any bigger than NDSU is up front.
I got to tell you, I was talking about this game earlier this morning with one of our downstairs folks who checks in on the FCS stuff. And, you know, I told him, if you are of the old Nick Saban, I remember a few years back when Nick Saban kind of lamented that FBS ball was rapidly moving towards a pass-centric kind of spread offense style as opposed to the old let's just put our heads down and run the ball. If you miss that kind of football, Kevin Marshall, looks like this one might be a damn good one to watch.
It is. They're going to whip each other for four quarters there. And they're going to look up at the end, and that's what the score is going to be. I mean, both of these teams play extremely hard. I mean, look, that's a bunch of Montana kids, you know, who play for the Bobcats. And, you know, it's a little different out there. I know because I live there now. You know, they're extremely tough kids, mostly ranch kids. And, you know, they've been looking for a fight their whole life, and they're going to have one tomorrow, that's for sure.
We're looking at the odds right now. Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, which you can hear on ESPN Upstate, chatting with us on the Rob Brown Show. And ESPN Upstate, he is in Dallas for the FCS championship game between Montana State and North Dakota State. I'm looking at the lines here. Caesars has North Dakota State -7.5 and the over-under set at 42, which means it is going to be a very physical game. At least traditionally when we see a number around 40, Kevin Marshall, but -7.5 for North Dakota State. There's a little part of me that wants to put a little coin on Montana State to be inside of 7.5. Is that a good play?
I think so. Chris and I, my co-host, we both picked the Bobcats to win the game. So, I mean, I think they will. NDSU is not as good as they have been. They're gettable. And I think the Bobcats have a team that's built to compete with and beat NDSU. So, I mean, I'm not a gambling man, but if I was, I mean, I would sprinkle a little bit on the Bobcats money line. I think they have a very good chance to walk away with the hardware from here.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Kevin, when I was looking at these two teams earlier, Montana State have outscored opponents 44-13 on average in the second half of this season so far, and in a lot of those games they really haven't even been pushed late. If Montana State is, let's say it's a 3-point game either direction, it looks like they're going to be a little bit better off on the scoreline, which says to me that North Dakota State's going to throw everything they got and a little bit more early in the game. Is that the way you see it playing out?
Absolutely. And this is one of those games where it's a hat, a t-shirt, and a ring, right? You get a hat and a t-shirt on the field when you win, and you get a ring a couple of months later for a national championship. I think everybody's playbook is wide open. I mean, what are you saving good plays for next fall? I mean, if you can steal a possession, fake a punt, you know, maybe onside kick and steal a possession, I think you're going to see that kind of stuff because these teams are so evenly matched, y'all, that something like that can have a huge difference in who's going to win or lose. Steal a possession, win the game, I think.
Kevin Marsh joining us from FCS Nation Radio. You can follow them on Twitter at FCS Nation Radio 1. A tremendous follow and the only nationally syndicated radio show on the Football Championship Subdivision, which we are happy to have here on ESPN Upstate. Kevin, final score on this game. Give me your long-term prognostication, young man.
Give me the Bobcats, 21-17.
21-17 Bobcats, a bit of an upset according to the Vegas books. I like it. I'm also going to tell you, Kevin, you sent me about 3-4 months ago, right at the beginning of the season, you sent me some pictures of some of the stadiums up there in Montana, and I showed them to the lady friend, And now she has been hitting me for us to take a football FCS weekend trip up to Montana next year. You may have me crashing on your couch sooner rather than later. More importantly, you may be taking me to one of those historic games you've been trying to sell me on, my man.
That'd be outstanding. We'd get you a hat and some boots, and we'll have you out there earning your keep with some cattle. And you know, and as long as you behave yourself, you won't have to take a ride to the train station.
We get a Yellowstone reference out of Kevin Marshall. I love it. I will tell you, Kevin, I'll just buy my tickets, but thank you.
Okay.
But thank you.
Fair enough.
Kevin Marshall is the host of FCS Nation Radio. Follow them on Twitter at FCS Nation Radio 1. You can also hear them Saturday mornings right here on ESPN Upstate talking all things FCS. We got the championship game in Dallas this weekend. Going to be a good one. Kevin, my man, great to talk to you, buddy. I appreciate your time, fella. We will talk to you on Twitter, big dog.
Always happy to be here. Thanks, Rob.
You got it.
And congratulations on that award again, y'all.
I'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. You're a man. You're a good man. I appreciate it. That's Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation Radio. Follow them again on Twitter at FCS Nation Radio 1 and listen to them here on Saturday mornings right here on ESPN Upstate. Let's take a break. When we come back, we dive back headfirst into Georgia taking on Alabama. We'll give you a few more tips, tricks, keys to the game for the Dogs in the Tide when we come back on ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. Fun fact for those of you that are planning on sprinkling a little coin down on the college football playoff national championship. In the last 13 seasons, Alonzo, this stat blew me away. In the last 13 seasons, how many times have the Alabama Crimson Tide been the underdog? 13 years. How many times have they been the dog?
Once?
Three.
Okay.
Three times have they been the underdog in 13 seasons. That's not the stat that blows me away. Here is. In the three games that they have been an underdog on the sports books, Lonzo, they have won every one of those three games by at least 17 points. Alabama does not care that they are your underdog. That is the old rat poison that they have talked about so many times.
So if you're Vegas, can you manipulate it to make it look like that they're the underdog just because you know they respond and people are going and you know that they're going to win?
No, I mean, I don't think you do because, again, the point of Vegas is to get 50% of the money to come in on both sides, right? 50% of the money on both sides, which is why most Vegas lines are really good and really tough lines to follow. But 17-point margin of victory in three games they have been an underdog in 13 years. That's an unbelievable number. They don't care. And I don't think they should in this one. I honestly don't understand. And coming up on Monday's show, we're going to do a round table. I've got some folks that I have worked with in years past covering both Bama and Georgia who are going to join us on the show and do a little round table about the championship game. Alabama doesn't care about being the underdog. Doesn't bother Nick Saban at all. And in fact, it seems like when they are the underdog, and not that we have a huge sample size, it's three times in 13 years. Most teams would be killing just to be an underdog three times in 1 year. Three times in 13 years is ridiculous. To win them all by 17 at minimum is ridiculous. The fact that they beat Georgia, not beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, but throttled Georgia in the SEC championship game, I don't understand why this line. Now, it's not necessarily crazy that the team that lost in the first matchup ends up winning in the second matchup. 2012, the LSU Tigers beat Alabama 9-6 in a game that saw the two teams each gain less than 300 total yards. Four turnovers, no touchdowns, five field goals. Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee combined to go 9 of 17 for 91 and two interceptions, and they won 9-6 over Alabama. Then we got to the national championship game. The Tigers gained 92 total yards, had just five first downs, two turnovers inside the first 60 minutes of football, and they lost to Alabama 21-0. 1997, Sugar Bowl, Florida State versus Florida. Steve Spurrier won one national championship in his Hall of Fame career, and it was the year that he got beat by FSU 24-21 in the regular season in the Sugar Bowl. The Gators were perfect. 52-20 blew the Noles out in the 1997 Sugar Bowl. Now, there are only, five instances where the actual national championship game was a rematch, maybe four. But three of them were flips the scripts of the first time. Three of them, the team that won earlier in the year, lost in the rematch for the national championship. So history is on Georgia's side here. History is on Georgia's side. That being said, I don't care. I really don't care. Alabama's offense has not been perfect all year. And as I pointed out yesterday on the show, Georgia is going to have to be criminally aggressive at the line of scrimmage if they want to win this game. And when I say criminally, I mean like literally may need assault charges pressed against them after the game if they want to win this game. They are coming up against an Alabama team that is about as balanced of an offense as I can think of out of a national championship caliber team. Lonzo, off the top of your head, can you think in recent memory of a team that appears to be more balanced at excelling in both the pass and the run than Alabama seems to be right now?
Clemson of a couple years ago.
Fair.
With Etienne and with Trevor Lawrence.
It's fair.
That hurt.
That's fair. Also, they have a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They've got an Ohio State transfer at wide receiver who is lighting it up. Remember, Alabama lost their number one receiver coming into the semifinals. And all old J-Mo's been doing, the transfer number two, is looking like a stout number one. Brian Robinson Jr. and company running the ball exceptionally well against Cincinnati. Now, I'm going to say this about Alabama. Here is one place I have a question mark. Alabama ran the ball really well against Cincinnati. Does that change the way they attack this game? Do they come into this game with a run-first mentality? Because they did it against Cincinnati. Because, and Nick Saban knows this, I don't think I'm saying anything that, oh, Nick Saban's going to get caught off guard. I don't think he will. But they came in running the ball against Cincinnati. The Bearcats are not as good across the front as Georgia is. A, Georgia is bigger, stronger, more physical than Cincinnati. So if Alabama thinks, wow, we ran the ball really easily against the Bearcats, we'll just do that against Georgia. No, you won't. And number two, and I know I pointed this out like a lot this week, but Cincinnati was running a 3-2 nickel front as their base formation against Alabama. I don't think Kirby Smart and the Dogs are going to be running three down linemen and two linebackers at Alabama. You're going to be running into the teeth of a 4-3 traditional Southeastern Conference defense. If Nick Saban and Bama come out and they have game plan to run the ball against Georgia, Georgia better be ready for it, but they're good enough to stop it, unlike Cincinnati.
Why wouldn't Alabama come into this game with the same game plan they had a couple of weeks ago when they whooped Georgia? I mean, of course you have some backup plans, and you look and see how they played teams since, talking about Georgia. But it worked the first time. Why would you stray?
I would think because...
I mean, I think you come out and you play the same exact way you did, and if they stop it, then you have some changes. But until they stop it, they didn't stop it last time. Why would they stop it now?
The longest tenured coordinator at Alabama so far in Nick Saban's career there is Kirby Smart. He has spent more time studying under Nick Saban than anybody else has during Saban's run at Alabama. Kirby's a smart guy. I don't think you run the same offense at Kirby Smart's defense the second time around. He's going to have some thoughts on it. But the flip side's true, too. What Georgia did against Alabama in the SEC championship game cannot, did not, will not work. They cannot do it again. Both of these teams have to retool the game plan because both of them are going up against very, very smart college football coaches who are not going to let them get away with the same stuff they did the first time around. So both of these teams have to have at least modified game plan. And I wonder, after throwing the ball so exceptionally well against Georgia in the first game, I wonder if, after running the ball so well against Cincinnati, if Saban doesn't go, we're going to come out and run the ball 50 times again. If they do, that's to Georgia's benefit. But it is Nick Saban. Quick break. Back after this to wrap up Hour 2 on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show wrapping up hour number two. Coming up in hour number three of the broadcast, I got some playoff scenarios for week 18 in the National Football League. Lonzo and I are going to tell you who is in and who is out. Trevor Lawrence has spoken out about the Jacksonville Jaguars fans that plan on dressing up as clowns to protest Shad Khan, Trent Baalke in the front office. And he really... seems, I'll give Trevor Lawrence this. He's doing a great job at keeping himself off of ESPN.
We really should have dressed as clowns today for the show. We should have done that.
According to some of the people on the Facebook chat, I did. Thanks, everybody. And there's a potential boxing match coming down the pipe that I'm very intrigued in. And I think you will be too. I'll tell you who it is. It's actual boxing. It's not like celebrity boxing. It's a real boxing match. I hate that boxing's at a point where I have to clarify that. No, it's not Jake Paul, guy who's texting me right now. Stop it. I see you. All that more coming up in the final hour of the Rob Brown Show this week. It's ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.